It's Metal Shop here on 99.9 KISW. I am very, very stoked to have a guy that I listen to every week on a podcast called Axe to Grind. It is the, let me try this, the preeminent hardcore podcast. Is that right? The most popular and dominating force in the world of hardcore podcasts?
That's a good promo. I think we're going to use that. I feel like when I cut a promo on another podcast, I have to do like the champions of the world, you know.
Exactly. Tom Sheehan, not only that, but he also sang for and sings for Indecision, Most Precious Blood, and he's a New York hardcore legend. I'm just going to throw it there.
He's got a good pedigree.
Exactly.
Thank you.
He knows what he's talking about.
And you know what? When I saw he was in Seattle, I follow him on Instagram. I got up in those DMs. It goes down in the DMs.
It does.
And we had him up here in studio. So it's awesome to have you up. First off, what are you doing in the Northwest, my man?
What's up? I love the Pacific Northwest, and I would move here in a heartbeat.
Really?
Yeah, I love Seattle.
I always hear you talking about how much you love the West Coast. Why are you in New York?
I don't know. It's like you can't get out. It sounds like, you know, it's like, oh, I couldn't leave New York. I'm like, yes, I can. And then I come out here, I'm like, oh, I could totally live here.
Have you only ever lived in New York City?
Yeah, I lived in New Jersey, like in a beach town.
Okay. Oh, okay. But Is that growing up?
No, I grew up in Brooklyn.
Wow.
Yeah, so like I moved to Asbury Park in New Jersey. So which is where Bam Bam Bigelow's from.
East Coast in your blood, man.
Yeah, okay. But then I come out here, I'm like, what am I doing?
Into the smokiest, worst air quality of all time, yeah.
Still better than New York. Still a cleaner, you know.
That's funny.
Yeah, it's really. And New York, there's like maybe 2 months of actual like inhabitable weather.
Yeah, that's kind of how I describe it here during the summer when bands come up. I'm like, you're here for the 2 months that it's actually worth being around for.
Right. It's like it's either 97 degrees and like 110% humidity or it's
snowing.
Like 12 degrees and you have to like walk to the train. It's not great. Yeah.
But dude, thank you for coming up, man.
Thank you for
taking time off your vacation.
Absolutely. Thank
you. So you're wearing a Leeway t-shirt. You were in some pretty incredible hardcore bands and you grew up in Brooklyn. Like what was your first exposure to aggressive music, punk music, hardcore music? Did you have a brother or someone that exposed you to it or how'd you get into it?
Right. Mostly from maybe 8th grade, I found Anthrax.
Nice.
There you go.
Hell yeah.
Band, not the illegal substance. And then I sort of got into, like in high school, I met a friend of mine, James Kim, who I haven't probably spoken to since then.
Sure.
I got me like a
shout out to James Kim.
Yes, thank you very much for changing my life, James Kim, because he gave me a tape with like Minor Threat on one side and Dinosaur Jr. on the other, and that was literally
two great bands.
Yeah, and I was like, this is what I really, really like. And then
the rest is history.
The rest is history. Yeah. I went to like local shows and then
And now you're here.
Yeah.
Hanging out with us.
What a wild trip it's been.
So would you say that Minor Threat was the first hardcore album that you heard?
Yeah. And I just remember being like, what is happening? Like, it's just so fast.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know what this guy's saying. Now it seems very, like, routine.
Exactly.
But at the time, I was like, I don't really know what's happening.
Was it too much for you at first?
It's overwhelming, yeah. And then, but Dinosaur Jr. is like, this guy's like the opposite.
Exactly.
It's slow and kind of, and
brooding.
Right. And I still love both to this day. So it kind of, he did a good job.
But like that fast stuff, Minor Threat as a kid might be a little off-putting at first, but then it plants that seed and you come back and go, I need to take another look at that.
Yeah, I was like, I need to revisit this. And I was like, oh, this guy doesn't do drugs either. This is awesome. You know,
awesome.
Like,
there you
it's
go.
Like, cool. All right, not a weirdo.
I distinctly remember getting into like AFI, right? I was getting into AFI and I saw in their like lyric sheet or something that they think Youth of Today.
Right.
And so I went to Napster and I downloaded Break Down the Walls by Youth of Today. And I was like, this is terrible.
Yeah, like, what is this guy?
What is his voice?
He sounds like a cat in a bag. Like, what's happening?
Like, a couple of years down the road, I revisited it, started to like it a little
bit
more.
And then it clicks.
But it was too much at first.
That's all it takes is like you have to like kind of revisit and you're like, oh, this is why.
Exactly.
Yeah,
but
this
then
is
you
why
go,
it is what it is.
I've heard this before.
Yeah.
Right.
I've seen this. I know everything.
Right.
So what were some of the first shows that you, what was your first hardcore show that you ever went out to like out in the East Coast?
I mean, we had like in Brooklyn, this is like probably early 90s, probably like 1991 or so. Like my local band was Marauder. Some of the scariest. I don't know why.
Lucky son of a.
It was like Marauder and a band called like Dark Side, which was kind of like a Celtic
Dark Side NYC
kind of band. Yeah. And a band called Confusion, which was like early on like deathcore, like not like the deathcore that people think of today, but they were kind of like Confusion sounded like death, like the band.
Okay, all
right.
Dark Side had like a. It was like the band that the guitar player from Sheer Terror started right after he left Sheer Terror.
Wow.
So, but it sounds like Celtic Frost.
Okay.
Yeah, just like shows like that in a band called Starkweather from Philadelphia.
Yeah.
I just remember being a kid and being like, I don't know what's happening, but this is awesome.
So was this at like VFW halls or legitimate venues?
There was a legitimate venue in my neighborhood called the Crazy Country Club.
Wow.
Which they would let them do hardcore shows on Thursday nights.
Okay.
But it's literally where Andrew Dice Clay got his start.
Wow.
So it was like a comedy place on other nights, you know. And it was brutal. It was like a terrible place in retrospect. Now it's apparently the church across the street bought it because they thought it was haunted, like taken over by Satan, which makes sense.
Yeah.
So I drive by everyone's room. I'm like, oh man, like if people only knew what went on in that place.
So the owner must have been like a punk though, or had
Yeah, and I think they were kind of like, well, no one else is coming in on a Thursday night. Like you guys can have this, and sort of
fair enough.
They let us have it. It was cool, you know. And there's like a documentary about this place now. It's like become like a thing.
Wow.
What's the name of it again?
The Crazy Country
Crazy
Club.
Crazy Country Club.
All C's. Yeah.
So but you're
now it's owned by a church though. Yeah. So it's
like
gone.
You can go buy like
R.I.P.
Yeah. Yeah. Right, some cool books from the church. Yeah.
So you're honest. You're not a bullshitter on your podcast, and you're from New York City. We never got to go to CBGB.
Yes.
Is it people with like, you know, kind of like rose colored glasses looking back at it, or was it really that awesome?
Like they romanticize it?
Yeah.
I mean,
is it too romanticized or was it
now
awesome?
That it's gone? Yeah.
Well, it's hard to say. It's like, I always, you know, you hear people like, you know, it was like, it's a toilet, but it was our toilet. Like, it's crappy. I mean, it was not a nice venue.
Yeah.
This place, like, I've had friends that, like, oh, you, like, slipped and, like, cut yourself on something.
Got hepatitis.
Like, yeah, you might need a shot now, you know? But, I mean, just going, like, it was such a place and, like, it was just, like, so historic.
Exactly. Right? Yeah.
That's really what the main allure of the place was. It's definitely not, like, sound system was amazing.
Really?
Huge, incredible sound system.
Cool.
But, yeah, I mean, it was just like.
Did you get to play there?
Yeah, bunch of times, actually.
So what did it feel like stepping out on that stage knowing that, you know, Ramones played there?
Yeah, and it's like, oh, AC/DC played here. And like, this is like, what is happening? It was awesome. You know, like, we were like 20 at the first time we played, you know, and since they had like a lot of more like, I guess, mainstream bands or like non-punk bands, like you'd have to go through like the tryout phase.
Okay.
So you'd play on like a very late Tuesday night and like they wouldn't even take the tables away. You'd be playing like to, a, you know. So like some stragglers that came in for a
just
soda
drinking,
and like and they're like, oh, this guy's yelling. But but like with hardcore, like they had like a Sunday built in. So like you kind of someone gave you a break and that was it.
But that's where people knew when and where to be.
Yeah. And it was, you know, and they were early and it was cool. Like, and there's nothing like showing up and like seeing a line around the block and be like, this is going to be.
What
know.
Is CBGB now? Like some retail store from somebody selling purses?
Yes.
Or something?
It's John Varvatos, like a famous, like upscale, like fashion designer. He kept a lot of it, like kept the like he kept things so it looks punk.
Sure.
And then
of course.
There was a, had a venue next door that was like the CBGB's a gallery. That they would do more like acoustic things and like sell merch and stuff. That's a Patagonia.
Yeah,
it's the Bowery is not the same. Yeah.
Yeah. Just knock it down, put a mall up while
I saw it as well. Yeah.
It was a Target with CBGB's like.
Oh, that really? Well, there's a CBGB's restaurant in Newark Airport, which people get really upset about. But yeah, the Target thing was a little off brand. I was like, that's really like.
Well, yeah. You got to sell them shoes. Yeah, right? You got to do something.
These vans aren't going to sell themselves, buddy.
Yeah, exactly.
So we always like to ask this question of, like, the light bulb moment. So, like, let's break it down. Like, do you remember, was there a moment where you, like, saw a band or a record? Was there, like, a time where you distinctly remember, like, I gotta do this. I gotta be
like in a band. Like
in a band.
Yeah. I wanna, gotta be involved.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes. I went to go see, I spent, like, for a 16-year-old or whatever it was, like an exorbitant amount of money to see Pantera open for Skid Row.
Nice.
But it was like heavy
that was
Skid Row.
Right when Pantera was breaking.
Yes. It was like Slave to the Grind Skid Row, so it was like kind of heavy.
And that was Cowboys from Hell tour?
Yes.
Nice.
Wait, was it? So this is like 91,
early 92. 90s, yeah.
And I just remember being like, I mean, all things, like not knowing at 16 what might have become of this gentleman later on in his life. I was just like, this dude is so cool. Like, oh my God, pardon my friend. You know, like, I was like, he's awesome. His voice is incredible. Like, I've never heard anybody scream like that at the time. And then.
You're talking about Phil or Sebastian?
Phil Anselmo. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
But yeah. Sebastian,
that's
too.
A different era.
Yeah.
Different era.
But yeah, after that, I was just like, I remember we were like in the hallway and like a friend from high school was like, you want to be in a band? I was like, hell yeah. I mean, we were awful. But it was like, we covered Domination, and that's really all.
That was an indecision?
No.
Okay.
Yeah.
That came later.
Yes. Hey, much later.
Do you remember the name of that band? That first
Contempt.
Band?
Contempt.
All right.
Nice.
Hey, we all got to have our first band, dude.
Yeah, we
Everybody
did.
Out there has got to have their first band.
We covered Domination by Pantera, FBLA by Helmet. I don't know why. And the Crab Song by Faith No More. I don't know what was happening.
And you were singing?
Yeah, not well. Not even remotely close to anything.
Singing.
Yeah. Yeah, I was yelling.
Was that more singing, though? Like,
oh, terribly. But I'm so glad it doesn't exist in any form of...
But it was more singing, less screaming?
Well, like the originals, I was yelling. I just wanted to be Phil Anselmo.
Well, yeah,
like, literally.
Okay, fair enough.
Yeah, that's all I wanted to be.
But did that help you learn how to get your vocal style together? Or like,
yeah, like I almost gave myself an aneurysm. I was like, I might want to change this up a little bit. Yeah, I was like, this hurts so bad, but it's awesome.
So let's talk a little bit about Indecision, man. When you guys started,
yes,
and this is a question we've been talking about behind the scenes. Like, we talked about the Nergal thing with Behemoth, where he ripped up a Bible on stage and went to prison. You know, in Poland.
Right, right.
And was, you know, persecuted by them. Like,
luckily, that's not happening in the United States.
Right. But, yeah, so I would be in deep trouble. Yeah.
We've, you know, got a different, quote-unquote, different vibe here. So, but when you guys were ripping up Bibles and stuff like that on stage, did you ever have to, like, deal with that later? Did you ever have some guy walk up to you in the parking lot or Booker or something? Like,
any awkward conversation?
Any fallout from that? Yeah.
Like, yeah, you know, it's weird because, like, if I remember correctly, I don't know if we ever actually did that.
Really?
So people that would come see us would do that.
Oh.
But people automatically assume.
It's part of your mystique.
Yes. Yeah. Like, my mom is like a Shiite Irish Catholic. She would be so upset if she knew half that we did.
Yeah.
So, like, I don't believe in it, but, like, I would never want to hurt the old lady's feelings. So I'm like, I would never do that.
I know exactly how you feel.
You know? So people would do that, and it'd be, like, photos, and it'd be, like, Bibles whizzing by my head.
Pages
like, Yeah, you know?
There goes Genesis.
Yeah, and, like, it got... he, like, built, like, a cross. We were somewhere in, like, Amsterdam or something, and at the end of the show, he decided to be, like, so, like, punk and, like, destroy the cross. And
oh, like,
shattered.
Smash
it. Yeah. And it, like... flew into the crowd and broke a beer stein in the guy's hand.
Oh. Whoa.
And he just, him and his like skinhead friends came rushing at the stage.
Oh, no.
So that was a little awkward. We played
the Europunks. Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oh, Jesus. So, like, we had a buddy of mine who were like, hey, please don't beat up this guy.
Yeah. Well, and let's get out of here.
Yeah. And like, we played Furnace Fest, which was kind of like, supposedly kind of a mixed fest, but it wasn't really. It was like most, like a lot of religious bands and like some
Christian
secular
hardcore bands.
And
yeah, stuff.
You know, yeah, so yeah, like yeah. We, you know, like we played because we wanted to play with At the Gates. No, it was In Flames. Sorry, it was
so like Zao, stuff like that. Yeah.
Like nothing, no Innocent Victim and all this sort of stuff.
Okay.
And as we played, like all the Southern like atheists were like, we're turning up Bibles. And like I was watching like kids, like some dudes were like moshing with Bibles and there were other kids like scrambling to pick up the pages and stuff. And I was like, oh man, I don't know what I really think. And then people would like leave in droves. Yep. So it would be like
bumming out.
Yeah, we started like there was like 1,000 kids there, or whatever. It's like, oh, there's like 250 kids there.
Nice.
Because everyone's mad at us.
I mean, those Southern atheists in the Bible Belt, they're a little more pissed than the other the regular because they got to deal with that.
Yeah, and that's, you know what? Like, we don't have that, like, us, like, godless Northerners. Like, no one really, like, we don't have to deal with that on a regular basis. Like, I have friends that I've made from, like, since then. It's like, oh, you don't understand. Like, this is every day.
Oh, yeah.
Like, our parents are this or
it's
that.
It's oppressive,
like,
dude.
This is like a culture. This is a war. And I was like, oh, I totally get it now. Yeah.
So you're stepping into there and you go, okay, we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we were like the godless heathens that were like, we're going to provide the soundtrack to you guys, you know, exercising your demons, I guess.
Cool. Amen.
Amen, brother.
So, Indecision, you guys hit it hard, put out some records, and then transitioned to Most Precious Blood. Was there a couple years in between, or?
Yeah, so Indecision went on without me for, like, a year and a half.
Okay.
Lasted 5 years with me. Well, a year and a half, I was out. I'm not saying that had anything to do with me, but it might have.
Percentages.
Just say, yeah. And then I went to grad school, and they continued on.
Sure.
And then they broke them in El Paso, and within, like, a month, I was, like, IMing with Justin about, like, playing in the band again.
Yo, so what's up?
Yeah, he hit me up. Like, you want to do something again? Yeah, it was, like, the DM of, like, 2000 or whatever.
Yeah, AOL Instant Messenger.
Yeah, and I was like, yeah, maybe. I was like, but, like, I have a real job and stuff. Like, I can't do this full time. Like, we can do it on the weekends.
Yeah.
So, absolutely. And then it was, like, all of a sudden, I woke up and I was like, oh, cool. I've been gone from four and a half months from my house. You know what I mean? Like,
signed a Trustkill record.
Yeah. And then it was like, oh, this is like legitimate. Like, now I have to actually go out and do this sort of stuff, which was, it was the most fun I'd ever had in a band.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, Indecision was a struggle.
I mean, like, to be honest, though, like, you guys kind of hit it like that. Like, Trustkill had some crazy albums at that time.
Yeah.
Bleeding Through, 18 Visions, Poison the Well,
right.
Most Precious Blood, Terror came
out. Bullet for My Valentine sold 500,000 records.
Jesus. That was insane. Like, that guy probably has it pretty good, the guy who owns Trustkill Records.
Josh Grabel, he had a place we called Hotel Grabel that probably had 20 rooms.
Wow.
It was insane. It was insane. Yeah, he did really well. And we were, like, the smallest fish in his giant pond. Like, we were just, like, the hardcore band that happened to be on the label with all these...
But did you guys get on Headbangers Ball? That's the question.
No.
No?
No.
Oh, come on, Jamie.
Yeah, seriously. Come on, bro.
Let's kick that thing back up.
Yeah, come on. I listen to your podcast. Come on, just bring it on just so I can be on a video for once.
Yeah, we're going to at Jamie right now. What's up?
Hard. Come
Where
on.
Where you at,
man.
Dog?
Answer the questions for you, bitch.
Oh, yeah. I was like, we need to come up with songs.
Oh, so you mentioned a little bit about how Indecision went on with you for a little while without you, but like, let's talk about your transition into that. You said you went to grad school, yeah?
Yes.
And so you went into law school to be a lawyer. Did you want to necessarily step out of the heavy music scene, or was it just a sidestep so you could focus on being a successful person who can sustain yourself?
Right.
Or like, you know, like,
well, I'm like a glutton for punishment. So I went to, in between Indecision and MPB, I went to grad school and I got a master's in forensic psychology.
Damn.
Wow.
Then after MPB, after that happened, I had a bad breakup and I was like, what can I do with myself? And I was like, I'm gonna go to law school.
Go back to school.
Like, what a moron. If I knew now, I'd be like, don't do it. It costs so much money. So yeah, so I went to like grad school in between the bands and then law school after it.
Right.
And then it was just kind of like, I still love it, so it's like, I'm not going to disconnect myself from it.
I mean, you're still listening to music in the meantime, I'm
sure.
Oh,
absolutely, yeah. I mean, that's the only thing I had, like, otherwise. I was like, cool, I was running a full-time, like, nonprofit.
And but you couldn't go to shows, right?
No, I did.
You did?
It was the only thing I liked.
Yeah. You squeezed that in and you
had to.
School,
I had to. It's literally,
it's like
I don't like anything.
Yeah. Stay alive, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's like, I'll go to a movie or go to a show. That's really all I enjoy. Yeah. So, like, you know.
I'd rather go to a show.
Yeah, exactly.
So what is your position now? Tell us a little bit about what you do like on a day-to-day basis and what your actual career is.
And can I call you if I get arrested?
You can. Only if you get arrested in New York, because I'm only licensed in New York. Because they do like the licensure per state.
Right.
So I keep talking about moving out to Washington because I love it out here so much.
Come out here. I'll hire you.
But I have to take the bar exam over again.
Oh, that.
It was literally one of the worst experiences of my entire life. It's 19 hours over 2 days.
God damn.
And I studied for 12 hours a day for 2 months straight. I had to like go on sabbatical for my job to study. It was a nightmare. I would never do this again. If anyone ever asked me, I'd be like, do not do anything else. Learn how to fix computers. Yeah. Don't do this.
Yeah.
So right now I do some legal work for like bands.
Okay.
So like I work with Burn.
Nice.
I work with Candiria.
Awesome.
I did some stuff like the Cro-Mags.
So they got you on retainer?
Like, yeah, right.
You
know what retainer? Yeah, not
yeah,
a lot.
Right.
Yeah, they're like.
So do you have to do like sit down confrontations between JJ and Harley?
I'm trying to bring them to the table. No, they did some kind of like reissue, which was whatever. I worked I helped the label that was doing it. I was like, you need to put this in writing.
Yeah.
And the kid's like, you think so? I'm like, oh yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
Right now.
Like a handshake, not going to help.
No.
Especially I'm like, have not, you met this gentleman? I was like, he will kill you.
Yeah. Literally.
Yes. So I do that kind of like on the side. It's like a barter system.
Sure.
You know, it's like, so I work like for Burn. Gavin owns a gym. So I'm like, I'll do legal work for you. I'll go to your gym.
Cool.
It works out. So nice. It's a fair trade. And then for like my full-time job, I run a nonprofit organization that helps mentally ill offenders coming off of Rikers Island, like our big detention center.
Right.
And helping them with their transition back into the community.
Wow.
So
awesome.
We help them with like services and housing and all that sort of stuff.
That's
to make
incredible,
sure that
yeah.
they don't like return.
So do you do that one-on-one? You're the managerial?
I am the senior director. Thank you very much. So I'm like probably like four like levels removed.
Okay,
and I definitely get involved if need be.
Yeah.
But it's mostly like dealing with the bureaucracy of New York City.
But also giving these people a chance to maybe try and pull themselves out of whatever ditch they dug themselves or whatever.
Yeah, and just like making sure that, you know, like the city is not easy to kind of navigate. Social services and stuff, it's not easy.
It's a big city. Man.
Yeah, you know, and it's easy to get lost. So we try to help like work with folks like when they're coming off and they have like to try to ease the transition as much as we can.
Has it worked as well as you would like it to? Is it successful? Are you like...
So far, yeah. This program's only been open for about a year.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've only been there for about a year.
What's it called?
It's the Community Reentry Assistance Network.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, it's everything.
CRAN.
Yes. So, like, I call the people that work at the Cranberry. It's terrible.
Yeah.
There's so many, like, it's just like everything is an acronym. Like, there's everything in New York is an acronym.
I believe it's
nightmare. but it's been working so far. It's like,
you're just getting it started, too.
Yeah. So, yeah. hopefully it'll continue to run and the city will keep us
running.
That's
awesome, man. Yeah. I'm glad to hear that, man.
Yes.
We need more people and services like that.
We're hoping, you know.
So you mentioned so we're talking about Most Precious Blood, talking about Indecision,
yes.
And in headlines over the past years, Justin Brannan from Indecision, from Most Precious Blood, he is now a council member.
Yes.
Is in New York City, in Brooklyn, correct?
Yes, and he's like the councilman for... It's like four or five different neighborhoods in Brooklyn.
How crazy is that?
It's amazing.
That's happened, man. Like,
it's
seeing him on the news.
Awesome.
It's crazy. Like, I'm like, I know
so
that
cool.
guy. Like, I've known him since he was like 15.
And the guy that went up against him was trying to like tear him down by saying, he's a crazy man who used to sing all these weird metal songs.
And someone like came up with like a smear video.
I saw that.
That my voice is on. I was like, this is so weird. And like, they definitely went through the documentary and like, parsed out like certain things were like, this is really gonna get them.
Of course they did.
And then, but we watched it. I was like, one of these labels couldn't have done this for us back in the day? Like, this is the best promotional video ever.
Yeah.
We sound
I want to listen to this band because of that.
Yeah. Like, we sound incredible. Like, no, it's awesome. He's been fantastic at it. You know, like, everyone in the band kind of went on to do pretty crazy stuff, but like, for him, it's just like, he's very charming. he loves his, Brooklyn. He loves his neighborhood.
That has everything to do with it too, because he's representing the people he fucking lives next to.
Right, and he's like, I mean, he's like covered in tattoos. He's probably 6'2", like 300-something pounds, and people like love him,
If he's well spoken enough, I mean, you got to be a politician to be a politician.
Yeah, and he's very, you know, he's very charming. Like every once in a while I go, wait a minute, how did I disagree to that?
Did you just talk me into?
Yeah, it's like a Jedi mind trick, you know. But he's been involved in a lot of stuff with like the NRA and with like ICE and stuff. That it's like he's doing great stuff. It's nice. I'm really proud of him.
I just want to follow up on that briefly.
Yes,
is he facing another re-election coming up, or how does that work? Is he get reappointed? Like,
no,
he
has to run
around?
Again. Yeah, think. All depending, like, his name is kind of, maybe I'm biased, so it's hard to say. Like, I didn't know, like, your city council person before. It's, like, such, like, kind of, like, a lower level thing.
Sure.
But a lot of people seem to know him, and there's another gentleman in Manhattan that's also a hardcore kid that's a city councilman.
That's awesome.
So, like, they kind of, like, work their magic.
This is the next generation,
it's amazing.
Man.
It's so amazing. Like, this is exactly what needs to happen.
It is. It totally is.
Like, punk and metal people getting involved in stuff and really changing things.
Yeah.
It's not for civilians anymore. You know what I mean? Everyone's growing up and we're going to take over.
As long as you give a crap, keep going with it.
Yeah, exactly. You know, so I think, you know, people joking like, is he going to be the mayor of New York City? And I was like, I would not be totally surprised.
I would love to. Oh my God.
It would be amazing. It would be so ridiculous.
That'd be great, man.
Yeah.
Hey, so let's completely switch gears here real quick, and let's talk business, man.
So we saw Indecision at Rainfest. You guys are popping up here and there, playing some reunions. You guys playing Back to School Jam coming up, right?
Yep, in Jersey City.
But you're obviously a busy man.
Yes.
You all are.
So what's you guys are kind of relatively active for a band that isn't a full-time band.
Sure.
What made you decide to come back and play shows with Indecision again?
We had done it. I mean, the band has been around in its like current incarnation longer than the original incarnation.
Okay, cool.
By like double at this point.
That's rad.
It was like one of these things. A friend of ours on Long Island, younger guy, James McEwing, was like 23, diagnosed with like some really rare form of cancer.
Sure.
None of like the mainstream treatments were helping him.
Yeah.
So his fiance at the time kind of did all this research, found this place in like North Carolina that no insurances would actually cover. So a bunch of bands were united. This band, Silent Majority from Long Island, was a big deal.
Yeah, of course,
Edna's Goldfish was like a big ska band. His brother was in it,
awesome.
Reunited. And we reunited to like donate a bunch of money.
Yeah.
Because it was like $500 a week for this treatment.
Yeah.
So if all of us kind of pitched it together. So like we did that once and I was like, this is a lot of fun. And then like there was another one. Unfortunately, the dude had passed away. So we wanted to do like a memorial kind of show. And donate all the money to Ronald McDonald House because they were very good to his parents while they were kind of staying local when he was going to go on all the treatments and stuff. And then it was like, well, that was fun, you know, and then I just...
So a combination of like you doing a positive thing and then also going, man,
it's kind of
really,
fun.
I love this.
Like, this is cool. Like, it's, you know, like you never know, like, when we were first coming back, it's like, it's really hard to say. Like, music is very like transitory. Like, you don't know, like, you know... 5 years in a music career is a long time.
Absolutely.
You know,
you can do everything and then also be gone forever.
Right. You know, so it's really hard to say. And it was like, oh, that was a lot of fun. And like we do things here and there. And then we're like, all right, we're going to do like Survivor Series. It'll be every Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
We'll play somewhere.
Yeah.
And then it'd be like, you guys want to play in Seattle? I'm like, okay.
Got the offer.
Yeah. Like, do you want to come to London? I'm like, yes. Yes. I would love to come to London.
You know? Yeah.
And it was just kind of like, we try to do like a home and an away show every year if we can.
Nice.
You know, awesome. And it's getting more and more difficult. Like Rachel, the guitar player, moved to California.
Yeah.
So she's trying to get us to play California so she doesn't have to be the one to travel. Nice. It's a little difficult though, but hopefully we'll do that soon.
Let's get you on For the Children.
We want.
Let's talk to Nate about that.
Yeah.
Look at you, a
businessman. All right.
Talk about Zabulba about that.
He knows.
He had mentioned it once before. We would absolutely love to do that.
Yo, so what's up though, man? You guys are playing shows?
Yes.
Hey, have you written a new song?
We have a new song. We do.
You guys writing new music?
Nice.
So what's up?
Justin is very averse to writing anything because he's afraid, because we're older, that we won't be able to do it. And which I'm like, we can do this. It's fine. You know, I'm like, just listen to like some current records. Like, he is obsessed with Power Trip.
Nice.
Dude, loves Power Trip. You know, and like some of the other, like the other two of the other dudes are like older guys. They have like kids. We're all the same age, but they're like older for us. You know?
Yeah.
So like every once in a while, like when we're going to a show or whatever, it'd be like, here's Code Orange. Here's Twitching Tongues.
Yeah.
You should check out Vain. And they're like, what am I missing here? I'm like, this is what's going on.
Exactly.
Like, this is so great. Like,
and now with doing Axe Grind, you're like in the know. You have to hey, study up
oh,
on
yeah.
it.
Not only that, they're listening to you talk about it. Now, you had Riley from Power Trip on your show, dude. Yeah.
And he hit me up. He's like, can I come back on when you guys were all there? I was like, absolutely. Yes.
Yeah.
We might be able to pencil you in there, guy. Like, one of the bigger metal bands in America. Like, sure. Yeah. And I mean, they're a great band. Like, they're playing Back to School Jam, which I'm really psyched to be able to play with them. And
but you just listed off all the bands that are like making this next big push.
Yeah. And they're all coming from a good place. You know, they're all like punk and hardcore kids, and like
exactly,
they're breaking through. You know, I mean, Code Orange, to see them now is.
But we're talking about bands that put in the work.
Yeah, I mean, they toured forever.
Exactly.
You know, to at tougher times, and now like I saw them at probably an 1,100 capacity venue in New York City, and I was like, oh, this is like a concert.
Yep.
Like, this, I get this. Like, this is beyond punk and hardcore. Like,
yes.
If you like heavy music, you need to see this
crosses,
band.
Yeah, and like, it's so, makes me so happy to see bands like that see that success. Yep. Like, Power Trip, touring with Cannibal Corpse, touring with Obituary, getting picked up, Code Orange. Like,
Meshuggah Tour.
Incendiary, the
NXT.
Wrestling.
Yeah, WWE. We went to that, and I was like, they're playing the Barclays Center. And I just saw them the other day, and it's like, oh, it's been like a year to the day. And he's like, that was the most surreal day of my entire life. It was like the guitar play from Incendiary.
Yeah.
I was like, I didn't even have to do anything. He's like, I just hung out because Code Orange was the backing band.
Yeah.
He's like, I was just like around. And it's like pictures of him with like Triple H. I'm like, this is the most surreal thing ever.
It's just good to see, man.
Yeah,
people
absolutely.
Who put in the work getting up there.
Yeah.
So absolutely. Back to the question, though.
Yes.
Oh, so you guys wrote a song.
Yes.
Is there any plans for an album?
It's like, oh, at this rate, I'd probably be like Mick Jagger, like 65 years old. Yeah.
Maybe like an EP.
Yeah, Justin's always like, you know, it's going to be like, you know, like when like Billy Joel puts out like the greatest hits and he tacks on those two new songs that nobody wants. He's like, these are going to be those two songs that nobody wants. And I was like, you might not. Who knows?
It's a bonus. It's a Decibel Flexi disc.
Yeah,
it's got to come out on Axe to Grind Records.
There you go. You know, we had this one song, and I was like, well, we're like an unsigned band at this point. So there was like some kind of like Converse had like a contest.
Rubber Tracks.
The shoe company?
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So I was like, you know what? I'm just going to throw our names in and see what happens. Like, they won't know who we are. So I'm like, and they're going to see we're not signed. So Will Putney, like the producer, I guess he loves Indecision, whatever. He saw the name and he fixed the contest so we would win. And I guess he like put it through because it was like you could either choose to record with Kurt Ballou from Converge or Will Putney. I was like, I'm gonna go Will. It's close.
Yeah.
It's like,
and Will's amazing.
Tough choice.
Yeah.
Man.
It's like either way you win.
It's a win-win.
And but like Will kind of like picked our name out of the top.
Nice.
And Converse is like, we know they're an old band. You can't do that. He's like, they have like four records out. You're not allowed to do that. He's like, God damn it!
But they won, man.
He's like, hey, they won fair and square.
They
but
won.
No. Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah, well, it's amazing.
We hope that you guys keep moving along there, man.
We'd like to. You know, there's still stuff to be annoyed about. You know?
Well, I mean, the thing is, like, all those bands you mentioned, they all took a page out of some of the bands that you've been in.
Exactly.
Maybe.
You know?
I
got to show them what's up.
I don't know. They're way good. They're way better. They're way better. Like, yeah.
All right. So I want to switch over to the Axe to Grind thing.
Yes.
I want to pick your brain about that. So
sure.
We were talking a little bit about... It's kind of a small startup for you guys.
Oh, absolutely,
You're recording it in a house.
Yes.
In a bedroom.
Yes.
How many? Three of you guys?
Four, three guys, yeah.
And then guests
rotate. Whatever, who rotate through,
right.
Yeah.
But it's blown up, man.
Yeah.
It's blown up.
got, man.
We're talking about Axe to Grind, if you haven't heard this. Go listen to it.
It's on iTunes and Stitcher.
It's
and all
the preeminent hardcore podcast of all hardcore podcasts.
Well, it's so new that you can actually say that and not be lying.
Exactly.
Because there's no, like...
I couldn't think of anything else off the top.
Not many other hardcore podcasts.
So how did you get together with these guys? How did that conversation start? You guys just meet at a show? You guys go get dinner? Like, how did that...
Right.
How'd you come together?
Right. Well, I've known Patrick for probably about 20 years.
Right.
He actually filmed an MPB video that never really went anywhere. This is like 2002 or whatever. So we've always been friendly.
Wow.
And
okay.
I liked his bands and all that sort of stuff and vice versa. And I had done...
He sang for End of a Year and...
Now he's in Drug Church. End of a Year became Self Defense Family.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. Yep.
So we had done a Death Talk, like, which was like the Death Wish.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. And, like, we literally sat in my office for, like, 4 hours, like, after I was done with work, and we, like, just talked.
Yeah.
And he was like, that was a lot of fun. We should do that one day. I was like, yeah, maybe.
We should just have a mic in here.
Yeah, and then, like, years later, I'm like, we need to talk. We need to do a podcast. And I was like, sure, yeah, like, okay. Like,
yeah,
we all sounds great. And we were in, like, a group text with my friend Justin, who runs Close Casket Activities,
mm-hmm. yeah.
and my friend Bob, who's on the podcast. And we were, like, just talking, and I'm like, hey, Bob, you want to be involved in this? And he's like, really? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, all right. And, like, we met at a pizza place, and we're like, so it's going to be Axe to Grind. We're just going to talk smack the whole time. Like, it's going to be like, you know. And I'm like, okay. I'm like, that's not really my, you know, like, we'll see. I'm like, there's enough
You're
stuff.
The nice guy on the podcast.
Yeah. You know, I'm just like, I don't know. And some people get mad, you know. And so,
yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's like everyone's got something, you know. You have to be able to take criticism.
So the name Axe to Grind, give us a breakdown of what Axe to Grind means.
So Axe to Grind.
Yeah, the theme of, like, how you guys.
Sure. So the ultimate premise was supposed to be like, I listen to this record, I don't like it, and I just say that, no mm-hmm. problem. If this record I listen to and I go, I hate this because the singer was a jerk to me in 2007, you have to, like, kind of give, like, that sort of precursor that it's like, I have an axe to grind here. This isn't just based on the merits of the music. It's I don't like this person.
You have a vested interest in some
right, right. And this could have been, you know, Master of Puppets, but James Hetfield's a jerk, so I don't like him anymore. You know what I mean? Kind of thing. No matter what it was. So we kind of started off with that, and then... We started talking about music, like, you know, more in depth and sort of, and then it just kind of, like, people would be like, hey, is it cool if I send you, like, a record to listen to? Like, sure. Like, and then it just kind of
But
happened,
I mean, like, with the three of you guys and everything you've been through and everyone you know, you have an inherent, like, respect level built up where people will listen to it, maybe not with a grain of salt.
Sure, sure.
But that said, like, I haven't heard an episode of Axe to Grind where I've been like, man, those guys are dicks, because you guys give out reasons why you give the explanations, and you're adding a level of personality.
Might not agree with it, but
sure. And that's, I mean, you're never going to agree with everything. And
that's why you got three.
There's a three of us.
You explain
it. So, like, Bob is more, like, straightforward, kind of, like, fast, hardcore guy.
You're the nice guy, and Pat's the heel.
Yeah, he's totally the heel. And Pat loves when I get a little cranky, and I, like, he's like, Hollywood Tom Sheehan, he's turning. Like, he knows I'm going to start yelling about somebody.
Feeding into it.
Yeah, he starts doing, like, the Jimi Hendrix, like, like the NWO thing. It's just ridiculous. Yep. And it's just like we all like our own different types of music, so it's like we cover a lot of ground.
Bob's the fast hardcore guy.
Yes.
And you're like the New York hardcore guy.
Right, and like the Earth Crisis-y 108 metalcore guy.
There you go.
And Pat's
too.
Like the what? Like Revolution Summer guy?
Yeah, and then he likes every once in a while he'll throw like Sick of It All is his favorite band.
Okay.
And it's like I would not have guessed. But and he loves like ignorant beat down hardcore.
Yeah, he puts out a guy who sings in what you would call, I guess, like kind of an indie-ish band.
Yeah,
puts out ignorant moshcore.
Yeah, like he puts out like that band Detain, who are like heavy. And,
yeah,
you know, and like they listen, so we like bust their chops, and we're like we name like like Detain, and like we name a different weird city in Michigan every time. Just to, like they're like Ann Arbor hardcore, and they're like we live in blah blah blah. I'm like Interlochen, like we just make up names just because it's fun. It's all good fun, you know.
You got to poke at each other.
Yeah, it's cool, you know.
But that's what we were talking about off air. One of my favorite things about Axe to Grind is you guys are conversational because you've known each other and you know how each other work. And like it sounds like you're a fly on the wall sitting to some dudes who know their and listening to them pass judgment in a certain way, but like in a fair way,
right?
For most of the time,
right? I mean, I feel like I try to bite my tongue on a lot of things because like I wouldn't want to hear this if it was someone talking about me. But like sometimes like Pat will say stuff and I'm like, I know this person listens.
Mm-hmm.
He's my friend. I'm going to get a text message. I need you to stop doing this.
Yeah.
Like, I fought with him about Undertow.
Oh, yeah.
And he's like, it's easy. And I'm like, I'm going to hop over this table, and I'm going to show you how
John's
easy
listening
it is.
Right now.
John's listening. He's the sweetest dude. He's going to be upset by this.
But
I
you up. Stop.
Yeah, he told me that he was laughing in the shower about it.
Okay, good, good. All right, okay, good.
And that he actually ended up liking Pat because Pat was so... making fun of him.
Yeah,
that's he's one of those guys who he takes his constructive criticism. Yeah.
Pat is like he's so charming. It's kind of like he's like, I'm hugging you, but I'm hitting you. Like I'm hurting your feelings, but you're gonna like me at the end of it.
We need more of that in terms of like in an educated way. Saying things that sometimes people need to hear. You know
not taking yourself too seriously.
Yeah. Right, and accept criticism. I mean, you're putting stuff out into the ether. Someone's not going to like it. Right. It could be the greatest thing ever. There's somebody out there that listened to whatever, like, you know, Rust in Peace, and you're like, eh. You know what I mean? Like,
that's incredible.
Right? Yeah. For every person that, like, signed Nirvana also was like, I'll pass, the guy whines. Exactly. Whatever, you know? Like, it's not going to be for everybody.
We've always seen that guy in the zine or the magazine who just rips things apart and is just total ass.
Right.
This is the opposite of that. And sometimes I feel like some of these people hear these things, the right people who can take it the right way.
Right.
And then apply that and readjust or change or learn or grow. Or, whatever.
I'm sure you guys have heard feedback. You're like, I'm going to put that in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, even with the bands, we're like, we've hit reviews. Like, they need a little bit more, like some more fast parts.
Exactly.
I'm like, good point. Yeah. And we kind of take it to heart. We kind of, you know, put
exactly.
it into your, you know, it's fine. Like, that's...
You add it, the bigger the musical zone, the bigger the musical person.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So you guys going into doing a podcast, this is your first podcast to do, that you've actually been
Absolutely.
A host of?
Yes.
So what podcasts do you listen to? What radio shows do you listen to? Were you like kind of like shaped by like any kind of like podcast you listen to or talk radio or sports radio?
Or did you
radio?
Just jump in?
Well, I mean... I guess, like, influence just...
Are you a podcast guy?
I am a podcast guy. I mostly listen to wrestling podcasts.
Nice. See, that's a man after my own heart.
Best friends, instantly,
We were just talking about it.
I listen to a lot of, like, political, like, you know, like, Pod Saves America and stuff like that, which we're obviously not like.
Yep.
We were kind of basing our podcast on the Joe Budden podcast.
Ah, yes.
Because it was, like, Joe Budden, like, we forced... like we
when
kinda,
it was a complex?
No, he does... A, yeah, he does, like, a newer one. So, like, there's three people in it. There's, like... The old cranky guy, which is Joe Budden, which they kind of positioned me as the old cranky guy, which is wrong. I'm the oldest, but I'm the least
cranky.
But
you're not the cranky,
And like Pat would be like the young guy who's still hip.
The SoundCloud rap guy.
Right. And then, which is amazing. And then like we got a DM from that Wikiphase guy.
Yeah.
He's like, when am I coming on? I was like, this is going to be weird. And I was like, this is awesome because it's cool.
SoundCloud rap on Instagram.
Yeah. And he's like, I want to come on. And I was like, oh man, we weren't that nice about this guy. Like he opened for Code Orange.
Yeah.
And I was like. A buddy of mine was like, this is so painful.
Well,
and I was like, I can listen to this at home.
But with your format, though, you could do it and make it entertaining.
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we wouldn't be, I mean, I wouldn't be nasty to the guy. Like, good for you,
That's
man.
Funny,
you're putting yourself out there. That's awesome, you know?
Yeah, I wouldn't picture that. I actually listen to every day. I'm not like a huge hip hop head,
right.
But every day I watch Everyday Struggle.
I loved
YouTube.
It when Budden was on. It was
but I
amazing.
I still watch it with academics. And, and I hate the guy, but I watch it every day.
Right.
So I can't hate him too much because I come back to it every day.
Right. Yeah. And like when Joe Budden was on it, it used to get so tense.
Yeah.
So, you know, and
so
it was
awkward.
And that was like the whole point, too. It was kind of like. Hey.
And Vic Mintz almost beat up academics.
Yeah.
It was so awkward.
And poor, I mean, academics, I feel like, gets punked on a regular basis.
Well, he's just like a basement dwelling like, troll.
Like, and he's like crying on like Twitch or whatever, being like, why is everyone so mean to me? Like,
but they say.
Fortnite with people.
Dude, if it bleeds, it leads, man.
That's true.
That's
people love it. Yeah.
You get those listeners. You get them hooked in there. What's going to happen
They get
next?
Like millions of views. They're doing something right, you know?
Right,
so.
Right. So that said, have you guys like discovered your reach yet? Like, are you reaching people overseas? I know you're getting all kinds of bands coming in. Like, your trajectory is on the way up, dude. Axe to Grind is going to get...
Which is pretty funny.
It already is big, but it's going to get bigger.
Have you gotten hit up by like people from all over the world or what?
Yeah. Like, you know, we've gotten like... SoundCloud... We are SoundCloud rappers, I guess, because we post ourselves to SoundCloud. They have like an app so you can see like where people are listening. We got a ton of folks in like the UK, Belgium.
Right.
You know, a lot of people, like, I checked today just to see how it was going, and, like, it was, like, the U.S. was number one, and, like, Australia was number two.
Cool.
It's like, I don't, you know.
All right.
I mean, I guess if you want to listen
What's
to
up,
our Aussies? Hardcore, yeah, it's amazing. I
guess
you, know?
You guys need to get Parkway Driving D's Nuts on your show.
Oh, God. You should get D's Nuts on the show.
Just so I can say D's Nuts over
and
over.
Grind that axe.
Be like, dudes. What's going on? Apparently, the Parkway Drive guys are like super nice.
Yeah, I'm sure they are.
They flew Matt from Most Precious Blood over to Australia for one of their weddings.
Wow.
He's a wedding photographer. So they flew him and his family over. So, like.
And they've been at it for a while. They
opened for MPB in Australia.
Wow.
And now they're like playing in front of like 10,000 people.
Yeah.
So they're doing something right.
Like, okay, thanks, fellas.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks
I get
for
that
the
call
free
back?
Food at the wedding.
Hey, but, so all over, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's going well. Like, it's way better, like, way more than we could ever literally have
Would
imagined.
You say that Extra Grind is more popular than Most Precious Blood or Indecision?
Oh, man. That's
right
a question.
Now?
Probably. That is a question.
Because it's like... so
more relevant?
I just yeah, no, just yeah. witnessing I mean, the gears spinning in your
it's
head.
It's hard to say, because it's like... I would think Indecision MPB have had, like, their... like impression on folks
yes.
that like you know like right. some kid who's listening to say like Foundation or Incendiary has no idea who Indecision is. Those bands do,
yeah.
you know what I mean? But like,
yeah.
the amount of people that are listening to Axe to Grind on a weekly basis, we are not getting that many people listening to Indecision on Spotify.
Yep,
on a weekly basis.
That's so. My question, yeah. and I'm sure you'd have to estimate this.
Sure.
What do you think the demographics are on age levels of people who listen? Is it mostly young folks, or is it like mostly older hardcore dudes, or?
I think it skews, like, it's probably, like, a lot of young folks I don't think are that into podcasts, oddly enough.
You know what?
Am I crazy?
I think you might be wrong on that, actually.
Really? So, I hope so.
Because that's the thing. Indecision lived right. in and was existed before, like, the advent of...
like, the internet, really.
absolute social media, you
yeah.
know what I'm saying? So, like, all these young kids, they're looking for somebody to, like... because I didn't have any older brothers or older cousins who
sure, sure.
gave that to me, passed that down to me.
Right,
so.
No, that makes sense.
They're looking up to guys like you.
I wonder.
You know, that's the thing. You got to hire a firm, dog.
Right.
Get your demographics down.
We're going to
start
curious.
Hearing like HelloFresh ads in the middle and
well,
stuff.
I mean, there were talks
some
about mid-roll. That, and I was like, we don't want to do this.
You get corporate
like, it came
sponsorships
up.
And
yeah,
stuff.
And I'm like...
like
who the hell is buying a Casper mattress? Listen to a hardcore podcast.
Well,
like,
I mean,
nobody.
You know, Jägermeister was all over every
you
yeah.
see,
metal.
See Carl Buechner and... with a Jägermeister t-shirt.
That's true. And like Jamie Johnson's like, check out the CBD oil.
Monster. Oh, dick pills.
Yeah,
dude.
I'm like, yeah, we don't, yeah. So like we were
blue able, pill.
Yeah.
Blue
he doesn't
chew.
Care though. He'll just
if
take
you
it
need
all.
A boner.
Oh yeah,
it's he'll like, do everything.
We're talking about rock, hard you're... songs. If yeah, you no, want a hard yeah, dick.
But yeah, like it's so like we've gotten sponsored by like Deathwish and like Triple B.
Yeah,
you know, awesome. I'm like we got you know it's totally cool. Like that's what we want to do. Like there's other stuff that's kind of been presented to us,
right.
which are kind of wild. But like I kind of like the way it's going. If we
nice.
Can be DIY. We don't need everybody.
So the you know? Reputation of your podcast leans and balances on who you choose to be your sponsors and this and that. Like,
yeah, I mean, I think because like,
you know how judgmental. Some
sure.
Of these
like,
cats
if,
are.
If you know, if I was listening to like a punk podcast and like some dude was like
Marlboro cigarettes.
Yeah, you know, it's like I don't know. Like this is fine without it. Like we don't, you know,
right.
We don't have any delusions of grant. Like I don't think you know, like. The amount of people that listen now are probably like 1,000 times as many people as I thought would actually listen to three old weirdos talking
yeah.
about hardcore. Like it's, you know, so yeah, I think there's like, we have a certain, not for
well,
lack of a better term, like reputation. Like we don't want it to be like, check us out, Casper
right.
mattress.
But you guys no opened up a window and you can't put this back in the bag, dude. You've already
it
started.
It is out of the, yeah.
Yeah. So
yeah.
like. People want to hear what you guys talk about, and that's why you're successful.
Which is
and,
cool, yeah. I mean,
and it's obvious because you started this thing called Patreon. Now, if you don't know what yeah. Patreon is, it's a service where people can pay a subscription amount.
Subscribe,
like
yeah.
every month, they pay a certain amount to help out the podcast, and maybe they'll get some exclusive content. In a time where you know you see all of this free content online, and it's almost like people saying like, "Oh, you shouldn't pay for content." It's really incredible to see people actually forking out a few. Dollars
right.
yeah. to show that content is worth something.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's, you know, God knows, you're not getting any money from iTunes.
Yep. No,
you know
or
I mean?
Spotify.
Yeah.
yeah. They don't pay the bands.
No, you know, and like even for like the podcast, like it goes up there, but like there's
right.
nothing.
Yeah.
There's
unless
no
you
proof.
Pay to have it sponsored.
Well, right. But it's not like they're not being like, so we probably get on a weekly basis like easily five figures
okay.
worth of people every
but
week.
But it's organically. Earned.
Right, right. So it's kind of like, that's, I mean, that's a lot of people.
That's yeah. a lot of people.
But man. Like, Spotify, or none of the, like, you know, Stitcher, nothing. You don't get a penny.
You're not even hitting know? The radar.
No.
For those guys.
No,
yeah,
you
exactly.
know. So it's kind of like, Patreon sort of helps to sort of, you know.
And you got one right. guy who lives in New Jersey. He has to drive several
right.
hours to get to your place.
Yeah, it's like a round trip, like 4 hours
right.
every
so
time.
So pay
comes.
For his gas. At
well,
least.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
like,
and.
I just saw Sonny from Hate
right.
Pipes, and he posted up, he. Is about to hit 1,000 Patreon followers.
Right.
And he was like, hey, if you guys want to give me a couple bucks, pay for my flight out, I'll come and like film your hardcore scene for a couple of the days.
Right. Yeah. It's brilliant. Like, and that, you know,
right.
I'm a patronize. I don't know.
He patronized the Patreon.
Verb, yeah. And I think what he does is great. He does
yeah.
a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
It's, you know,
but he
a lot
can't
of times
do
it's thankless.
Unless
people
he gets would, a little help, you know?
Right. Yeah. Like, it's a full time job. And he was doing like a full time job before that. Like, he told me, and I was like, you are so smart, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, he's got a law degree, too.
He's brilliant.
He went to Yale.
He's like a genius. Yeah. And so he was like, here's what I do. I do this, this, and this. And I'm like, it's not registering.
Yeah.
Like, I heard what you said. I could tell you what you said. I don't know what that means, though.
Right.
So, I mean, like, if he can kind of turn it into, you know, a paying job that he can survive off of and do this, and he's willing to travel to places and kind of document. And, like, you think of how many bands sort of built off of him. Like, he filmed that, like, one of the earlier Code Orange sets, like, This is Hardcore. And, like, somebody was out there, like, waving a flag. It was, like, super epic.
Right.
Then they were the biggest thing going.
Yep.
Same thing with Vane. Same thing with Turnstile. Yep. Same thing with...
He blows you up.
He really does.
One little feature.
Hey, you know, so he's, you know, he's worth every penny that he gets. Absolutely.
So he earned it. You guys are earning it, man. It's respect to you guys.
Thank you. This is cool.
So put in the work.
Bringing things back to Indecision, I got to ask, how many people have stolen the lyrics
for Those I Love,
I Will Sacrifice? Because
like
I've seen tattoos of it everywhere. But how many bands have stolen those lines? For Those I Love, I Would Sacrifice.
Yeah. There's one for certain.
It's from the song Hallowed Be Thy Name from Unorthodox, right?
Yes.
Who is it?
That band First Blood?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, man. Of course.
Someone.
You drew First Blood. Not f***ing me.
Yeah. So like this new record is called Rules.
Okay.
Or... I think it's called First Blood Rules.
First Blood Rules, yeah.
Right. So the first song There Are Rules. The second song is There Are No Rules. I'm like, pick a fucking lane. So the last song, literally the chorus is For Those Who Love, I'll Sacrifice. I was like, this is either awesome because he's like giving us a wink and a nod or he's totally stealing it. Yeah. I have no idea. And we have like no real... like connection, so I can't ask. Like
slide into those DMs.
I wanted to make one of those like Michael Scott shirts, like you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. Wayne Gretzky, Michael Scott, and just feel like For Those All the Sacrifice, Indecision, First Blood.
That's how you sell merch, man.
That's true. It's just, you got to start beef. You got to like really start the beef. It's been used in like other things, like that Avenged Sevenfold band used it.
Yeah,
and like their thank you notes.
Nice.
Way before they were big. Like one of the early records is like For Those All the Sacrifice, and then like their thank yous.
Well, they were SoCal hardcore.
Quote unquote.
I'm shocked at how big that made.
They built themselves off of that. And then,
well, that actually segues great into this next question because we were talking about how, you know, you were in like the big years of quote unquote metalcore on a Trustkill band, on a Trustkill, the label during that metalcore era of like Killswitch Engage, Atreyu, 18 Visions, you know,
they were on top of the world.
Trustkill.
Yeah.
What's it like to see a modern metalcore revival, bands like Vane, Sanction, Vamachar? Is it weird for you to see these bands like kind of
almost 20 years later?
Yeah, almost 20 years kind of just bringing it back?
No, I think it's awesome. And I think they all do it really well. Vamachar is great.
Yeah.
Vane is like, it's a spectacle.
Incredible.
And
and
like, I feel like if they get put in front of people, and Sanction too, like, I know Sanction did the Dying Fetus tour. I don't know if that came out.
Oh, yeah.
And they're doing something big. Maybe Stick to Your Guns in a Mirror.
Yeah, they're doing Stick to Your Guns in a Mirror.
Like,
yep.
You put a band like that in front of crowds like
and
that,
those bands sell tickets. Yeah,
yeah, they're gonna murder it because
it's
gonna
like
be...
Jesus Piece with Knock Loose.
Right. It's like, wait a minute, like this is different. Like I came here for heavy, but this is a whole other thing. Like,
exactly.
This is great, you know. And you know, even like Knock Loose, band is gigantic.
Yep.
We got to meet them, nicest dudes. Like
dude, they
deserve...
headlined over Terror, man.
Yeah, everywhere, you know. And like they were playing this venue in Worcester, Massachusetts. That was like, we're gonna do it in 600 capacity room. They ended up selling like 2,300 tickets.
Damn.
Like, they are like. The next thing. And
somebody call the first aid cart.
Yeah. But it's cool. I mean, I think it's, you know, I find metalcore interesting.
Yeah.
I feel like there's more to it. There's a lot, you know, I love straightforward hardcore too, but I feel like.
You can't, there's
a lot, this, you know, you can only write like.
There's only three Youth Crew songs.
Sure, exactly. And people have mined that, you know, went to that well quite often. But like, I mean, like a Killswitch, I think.
Well, that's what you're saying. Like,
you know,
your Pantera, man. You got you got a wide variety of influences.
Yeah, there. I'm like Pantera. You know, I mean,
have you gotten to talk to any of these new up and coming bands about any of this? Do they ever come up to you and say hello or thank you? I love your band or any of that. Like, have you had any of those interactions?
Yeah.
Or they're like, why is that old guy over there?
Yeah,
what
like
the
who
hell?
Brought the narc? 21 Jump Street.
No. The cops over here. Trying
no, you know.
Hello,
what?
Fellow kids.
Hello, what's going on with the next hardcore concert?
Oh.
no, you know what? More than you would probably imagine. Honestly, like a lot, like,
yeah,
like the Code Orange guys,
that's good,
like Vane, Zoot. Yeah, it's like, I think they appreciate that. Like, I'm an older dude that still goes to shows. I'm like, I'm not just waiting for like Gorilla Biscuits. Like, I like, you know,
right,
I love
exactly.
Gorilla Biscuits, but I'd like to see you know, other bands and kind of support new current live music.
Well, I mean, bands like Code Orange used to be Code Orange Kids playing VFW Hall, same with Power Trip. So,
of course, yeah. Power Trip hustled. I mean, those dudes, they were the most organic, I think. They
talked to Riley, and he would, like, he came up here to our building and was like, this is the biggest thing I've ever done.
Oh, yeah,
and
he's went, like,
he just was stoned.
Yeah. Yeah, stoned out of his face, yeah. But he's like a punk dude in a metal, in a thrash band, you know? And he gets it, you know, and... Those dudes hustled for a very, very long time. So they, you know.
Trying to connect that back to your podcast, how has the podcast changed your life at all? Has it, like, made you look at things differently? Do you judge things differently? Do you take input
People coming up to you on the street like, trying to fight you, trying to start beef?
Has it changed the way you look at anything? Or, like, how you has your approach on this podcast changed since you started it? Like, I'm just curious.
Yeah, I mean, I think you kind of listen to music differently.
Nice.
Because I feel like it's not just, and that's kind of our hope for everyone that listens to us. It's like listening with like a discerning, like critical ear. It's very easy to put music on and be like, that was cool.
Or that was so,
right.
One thing you guys encourage is people like, hey, we just want you to talk about music with your friends. It's kind of fun to do
It's awesome. Yeah. You know, like, and I think I've listened to like, it's like a less like passive ear and you kind of want to hear and like, you want to like, hear where they may be coming from and all that sort of stuff. And if you like it, why you do? And if you don't, a decent reason. And that's just sort of like
a critical ear,
you know, and like we've definitely changed over the, I hope we've gotten better. I think the first you listen to it, you're like, because you guys,
well,
like,
the first 10 podcasts, well, any podcasts are going to suck.
Dude, you guys are professional. Like, we're like idiots that like are grunting into a microphone.
Dude,
like,
the first 2 years we were on the air
were
terrible trash.
Like, Pat will look at me and be like, what are you doing?
We used to have a metal shop shot where we would play a little Awooga sound clip and ask people to take a shot.
Amazing.
Like, let's not talk about that. That is some like morning radio zoo.
But I mean, with us, like, Pat will literally like look at me and he's like, you've held a microphone for like 20-something years. What are you doing right now? Then I'm like, we need to have stands because I don't know what to do with my hands. And I keep like moving the microphone closer and further away from my mouth.
Yeah. It's a different vibe, man.
Yeah. So it's, you know, we've gotten, you know, we're still not professional at all, but it's gotten better. And I think, you know, we get a lot of feedback from a lot of people. And like sometimes we kind of try to take certain stands on certain like more social issues and
stuff. You have the ability to do that because you don't have some corporate guy breathing down your neck about it.
Right. Yeah. But it's also worrisome because it's like, you know, I could be out of touch and I could be a total like missing the point. But like, thankfully, like, we get a ton of emails back and it was like, you guys totally got it. That's like good. From like women and stuff that have written articles and kind of done podcasts and like, oh no, that was.
It's just a different time, man.
Yeah.
Different time in music, different time in the world. Yeah, and just, I like the fact that you guys take stances.
It's really easy to just not be an asshole.
But
every
time you take a social stand, you have to understand, and I know you do, that you're going to alienate a couple of people.
Right.
But if you do it the right way by providing logic and reasoning, and so you might be able to convert some people who didn't understand before.
Right.
So.
And quite honestly, if you're not willing to be converted, then see ya.
We're not worried about it.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like if I talk out about Trump and someone's like, you know, I really like Trump, then we're probably not going to be friends.
Yeah.
Cool. You know what I mean? Or whatever. And that's cool. Like that's fine. But I'm not going to like censor what we have to say if we're taking a stand. You know. But.
Okay, so bringing it back to Indecision, Most Precious Blood.
Yeah, everything is like, let's bring it back because this guy's talking about some nonsense.
No, we can do this for hours. No, we can do this for hours.
I'm ready.
We can pick your brain for hours.
So we got to let you go up see Eris in a little while.
Yes.
So we got to make this a little bit shorter. So
say hi to Pettibone for us.
I will.
What is the gnarliest pit you've ever seen for Most Precious Blood or Indecision show?
Gnarliest,
and I'm not trying to ask like, you know, biggest fights. We're not trying to incriminate anyone.
Split open.
But craziest pits, like seeing on stage with your microphone, seeing just insanity.
And or did you ever feel worried playing?
Yeah, you know, we talked about that on the podcast like recently. Like, do you feel like any responsibility if you like if someone like stuff happens? I'm like, well, I would feel like if you're like a mosh call. I was never a mosh call guy, but like if you're like, take your friend, throw him into a volcano.
Spin kick granny in the colostomy bag.
Right. Like, are you somewhat, like, sort of, you know, I don't know. We played this venue called Webster Hall in Manhattan. We opened for Judge.
Yes.
That was probably, it was pretty wild and, like, probably one of the Hellfest that MPB played. Like, we played against a band called Branson, which was, like, an emo, like, band. And, like, we were so loud and they were so, like, like they couldn't hear themselves. They were so pissed
out.
But like, you know, if there's 4,000 people at this fest, it was like 3,500 people watching us and like 500 people watching them like tinkle like around on their guitar. So that was pretty nuts. And friends of ours dressed up like all the presents from what's the movie with Patrick Swayze.
Point Break?
Yes.
Nice.
Full suits. And as soon as we started, went stage diving all over the ground. It was
sick.
Pretty amazing. Yeah.
Look out for Reagan. He's going to jump on your head.
Make it two. Yeah.
So, Tom,
yes.
This is one of our favorite questions to ask. Uh-oh. Show us if you can, if you don't got to like defrock yourself.
Defrock.
Pick a scar on your body. Tell us a story about how you got it.
Well, that's a good one. All right. I have a big dent in the middle of my forehead.
Nice. Okay.
That's a center shot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's where you're trying to carve the upside down cross.
That's
like
true.
Glenn Benton
I was
style.
Going, yeah, I was going for Glenn Benton. Glenn Benton, who actually wanted to beat up Justin Brennan.
Wow. How is that? Okay. We got to sidestep.
Oh, sorry. I'm really sorry.
We got to hear this.
This is a good story.
We got to hear it. We got
to
hear it.
So we went to go see, Justin's probably about 16.
Sure.
He had a zine called Some Kid I Hate. And
perfect.
Ridiculous. Yeah.
A 16-year-old, yeah.
Yeah, so we're going to see this band Confusion and Deicide at Lemoore's. So Justin had like a joke column in there, and it was like Glenn Benton's sister and Lisa Loeb started a grindcore band together.
Okay.
So literally, I'm standing outside, and Glenn Benton, and like, now I'm like 18, and he's huge.
Yeah.
And it's when the two brothers, like those Thor-looking motherfuckers.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm looking for Justin Brennan. And I was like,
what?
Oh, my God. And I was like, dude.
Wow.
And he's like, I don't have a sister or whatever it was. And I'm like,
this is not funny.
Yeah, I'm like, you're a 35-year-old man with a cross inverted in your head. And he was like, I'm looking for this Justin Brennan, like going up and down the street in Brooklyn,
holy.
Like looking for. And I'm like, Justin, you might want to get a cab. Like, get out of here. Like, this dude's looking for it.
You better kick rocks.
Yeah. So this, I was an idiot. And as a kid, I was obsessed with Evel Knievel.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm old.
Yeah,
it makes sense.
You're hardcore.
Yeah, so I set up. We had like a. I lived in Brooklyn, so we had like a very small backyard.
Yeah,
and so I set up a bench, and I thought it'd be cool to ride my big wheel off the bench down the back stairs.
Oh yeah, great idea.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. Okay.
So I was like 3-4 years old. I was supposed to be smart. Obviously, I wasn't. Gave myself a brain injury or something, and I like went and just
now
like
here you
ate
are.
It. Just ate it bad, and I landed. Like head first on the side of a concrete step, and it just like cracked my skull open. And they had
concussion city, dude.
Yeah. And they gave me like butterfly. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And I'm like, oh, good, great. You have to like, you know, now in retrospect, I go, oh, you had to like bring me to the hospital, like bleeding all over the place as like a 3-year-old. Like, you definitely have a case against you now.
Oh no.
And they gave me like a butterfly stitch. So I have a big old scar in my head.
But he fell down the stairs.
Yeah. Anytime like, you did something stupid as a kid, your parents could be like, well, yeah, he fell and hit his head.
Yeah. Like, he's, you know, he was very smart. He used to be lefty. I don't know what happened. Yeah.
And that's what made you dumb enough to start a hardcore band.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Yeah. All the other stuff of like broken teeth and stuff, but nothing. Nothing that you couldn't fix.
You know, it's funny. We mentioned Phil Anselmo, your love of Phil Anselmo. We asked him that question, and this is the most Phil Anselmo answer. He goes, well, I got this tattoo that says unscarred, so like, I don't have scars.
Right, okay.
All right,
as
well,
he
on
had a gigantic
there,
scab on his forehead from smashing the mic.
Right, exactly. He's got a head like Dusty Rhodes, and he's acting like, yeah, come on. He came to a Grill Biscuit show. I saw your Star Today tattoo.
Nice, really?
Yeah.
Grill Biscuits at CBGB's. He got out of like a limo.
Okay.
But this was like him when he wore like those like cut off shirts, and he had long hair and a long beard.
Was that with the undershave?
Yeah. No, this is before he got, this is after he got cool. This
when
was
when he was
like,
Super Joint Ritual.
Yes.
Yep.
And, like, literally someone had to, like, walk him in. He was, like, Ozzy. He was, like, had, like, tremors.
Yeah.
And they had to, like, walk him into CBGB's. And I was like,
jeez.
So crazy.
Trying to get off the booze.
Yeah, but now, like, he was a lot more coherent the last time
I
actually got to interact with him.
Yeah, just, he came up to the station and hung out. He's
that's
really
awesome.
Nice.
Yeah.
And
he's
then,
intimidating.
And then 2 years later, it's white wine, brother. I don't know what happened.
It was white wine. It was white wine.
Yeah, that really did a lot of damage. Because it's really hard to be like, but have you heard Pantera?
Right.
Like, have you heard Vulgar Display of Power? Like, there's no better metal record.
We put
probably
them
ever
on timeout for about 6 months.
You have to. Yeah. It's like, dude, like, you know, but you can't really separate the art from the artist
well,
from that kind of point.
Well,
you know?
What we were saying is, like, Dime's not around. Vinnie Paul just died. So it was
so
like,
sad,
the
man.
Legacy of Pantera exists not as just Phil. It's
right. It's like exactly. A time back then. Yeah, absolutely.
Right. So, dude, Tom.
Yes.
Thank you, man.
Thank you. This is fun. Hopefully, I didn't go too too off the
give us,
charts.
Give us your you know where can we at you and you know tell us a little bit about where we can find Axe to Grind and also what do you have to say? Final words for the Northwest audience.
Let's see. We Axe to Grind. We have a Twitter which is pretty active at Axe to Grindcast. We have a Facebook group which is pretty good.
Nice.
That a lot of people have, you know. People talking about their jobs and stuff. It's like super interesting. Also, some people taking shots at us and be like, stop doing the horn sound.
Hey,
I was
but
like,
that's the
I
nature.
I will not. I'm like, I started this Facebook group. I will close it.
I created you, I will end you.
Yes. I brought you in this world. I'll take you out. My ads are, I think, all at like Thomas Sheehan, I think.
Okay.
I had to go private on Twitter because I started beef and I really couldn't deal with it anymore.
Sure.
That's the nature of the internet.
As you were. Yeah. I was like usually kept it open. And then what else?
You are the Joe Budden.
I really was. Like somebody did some stuff and I was like, I'm just going to make fun of you for being inadequate at your instrument. And it was like, and another, like everyone piled on. I was like, I feel really bad that I did that.
You started.
Yeah. So I was like, I'm going to go away for a little bit. And then, what else?
Final words for the North, but anybody who's maybe hearing you for the first time, yes, maybe digging into indecision now since they hear this,
yes,
like, words of wisdom, I don't know, shout-outs, thank yous, whatever.
Right. If you're,
whatever you want to leave.
Favorite Northwest band of all time.
Oh,
oh no, dude. Ah,
can I go, can I do three?
Sure.
Well, can I do five?
Yeah, you can
is
do 20.
Enough? That's super annoying. I'm really sorry. But every time I go, oh, it's that bad. Oh, like, oh, I got to. So I'd go Undertow.
Yeah.
Right. Sunny Day Real Estate.
Okay.
Nice.
Yeah.
Alice in Chains.
Yes.
Soundgarden.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And this one will probably make me very less popular. Death Cab for Cutie.
I love them.
Hey.
I went to college in Bellingham.
Oh, well, there you go. used to cover Undertow. That was the big rumor that they used to cover Undertow when they first started. I love the Pacific Northwest.
Hey, you listen to Dave Larson's podcast, don't you?
I do. I love Dave Larson. He's a great dude.
See, I know. You heard that 3 hours of Pettibone talking about that.
Of course. It's
a small world, man. Small world.
But yes, I love the Pacific Northwest. I got to see some orcas today, and I will hopefully move here if anyone has.
Let's just get your bar.
You can take that all over again.
Someone can help me cheat on the bar exam and get me a license out here.
Josh Brumley, we're looking at you.
There you go.
Hey, thank you again. And,
no, thank you guys. It was so much fun.
Keep doing what you're doing, man, because the world needs down-to-earth, real talk and music and that. So
I appreciate that.
It's an honor to have you up here, man.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me up here. It's great.